All right. Can I have a couple of people help me with the communion, please? The communion is the most powerful medicine that you can take. You know, of all the medicines that are available in this world, it seems like the one I hear the least about is the one God gave us. And it's literally the most powerful medicine that's ever been released to mankind. Paul said the only reason, you know, there was a lot of people that were afflicted in the Bible. And Paul said the only reason that Christians are sickly and die early among you is because they don't discern the body of Christ. So, you remember, if there's something, there's an antidote to it. So, if we do discern the body of Christ, then we can expect to have healing in our body, have health in our body. Why wouldn't you? It's free. People spend thousands upon thousands and thousands of dollars on medicine. That is made by man out of a broken creation. I asked my dad one time what this one pill was for, and he told me. And I said, okay, what's this pill for? And he said, well, that takes care of the side effects of that one. I said, okay, so what's this one for? That one takes care of the side effects of that one that takes care of the side effects of that one. Okay. Doctors are still practicing. Jesus did it perfectly the first time. Amen. It's by His stripes we were healed. We do this on purpose. We release our faith in it. But you discern the body of Christ, His sinless body, was broken and bruised for you, is beaten. And it's by His stripes we were healed. His body was pierced. And as He took the full wrath of God's fiery judgment on Himself so that you could take His place. He took your place so you could take His. In other words, God treated Jesus the way we deserve to be treated so that He could treat us the way Jesus deserved to be treated. Amen? Amen. His body was broken and we're taking this for our healing and well-being. The blood of Jesus is the most powerful substance that's ever been released on this earth. There's nothing that it could ever compare to it. His body was broken and His blood was shed. Not only does His blood wash away our sins, His blood protects us. His blood seals in the New Testament promises for us. But one of the most important things is His blood made us the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. That means we are in right standing with God because of what Jesus did. Understand this. We could not do anything to put ourselves in right standing with God. It had to be Jesus. And now because you are in right standing with God, you are more than able to receive His blessings, His promises, His protection, His healing, His health, His restoration. Everything that you need in salvation is wrapped up in Him. Praise Him for it. Open up your Bibles to Joshua chapter 6. And I'll pray for us. Father, you've given us the Holy Spirit to teach us and guide us. And we thank you for this. You've also given us the spirit of wisdom and revelation so that we know that when we open your word and learn of Jesus, we'll be able to comprehend and we'll be able to get the insight and the revelation that we need to operate in your kingdom the way you desire us to. We praise you for this in Jesus' name. Amen. We're going to continue our studies on walking by faith. And we're at a part where how do we act on God's word? This is where it seems like it gets confusing in a lot of the church world. How do you act on God's word? Mental assent is not going to get it. Mental assent is this. I believe God's word. It's true. It's mine. Shout hallelujah in church and then go out those doors and talk about how sick you are. Or not even get out of bed. You know, sometimes it may be hard to act on God's word, but we still do it. We still go. Joshua chapter 6, we could agree Joshua had some big shoes to fill. But he did get the children into the promised land. And they got to Jericho. And it was time to take this city. And God gave them some specific directions. Jericho was straightly shut up because of the children of Israel, so none went out and none came in. The Lord said unto Joshua, see, I have given into your hand Jericho and the king thereof and the mighty men of valor. So he told Joshua, said, the city's yours. The king, the mighty men of valor, it's all there. It's yours. And then he gave him directions. And you can read the direction that will if you want. He said, you're going to walk around this city so many times. It's all right there for you. You're going to walk around this city. You're going to do it the way I tell you to do it. And then, on that last day, the horn's going to blow and you're going to shout. So they did that. And right here in verse 20, we'll get to the victory part here. So the people shouted when the priests blew the trumpets, and it came to pass when the people heard the sound of the trumpet, and the people shouted with a great shout that the wall fell down flat, so that the people went up into the city, every man straight before him, and they took the city. They utterly destroyed all that was in the city. Old man and woman, young and old, ox and sheep, and ass with the edge of the sword. So they plundered this city. It went all down. You know, my friend, he said he went to the walls of Jericho and he said, the walls are straight. They just sunk. Went straight down. That was acting on faith. They followed his directions. They did just exactly what he said to do, when he said to do it. Verbatim. Mental assent would have said, that's our city, but you got to be half billy goat to get up that mountain, around that city, walk around that. My feet hurt. There's people that say they absolutely believe the whole gospel. but they don't. And I figured out they want to believe the gospel, but their doctrine is more important. You know, one time I was walking along and I ran into a pastor, and he said, he was a pastor. And I said, really? And I said, so you preach the full gospel? And he said, full gospel. I said, so you believe in the baptism of the Holy Ghost? He said, well, now, do you believe the Word of God? One time, I was getting ready to come down to Texas to go to Bible school, and I had $300 in my pocket. That's a pretty good trip from Wyoming to Midland on $300. But I was going, so I was sitting there in church, and my pastor said, we have these Gideons. There are Gideons there. And so they're going to tell you a little bit about what they're doing. So one thing about my pastor is he would never allow anybody to make pulls for money in the church. So these Gideons got out there, said what they do, and God said, give them $300. I said, well, that makes sense. Or I go to Texas. So I went up there and gave them $300. And at the end of the service, they took up an offering for me, and I left there with $7,500. So I had more than enough to get to Texas on. And Bible school was paid, because they paid that too. But I didn't know none of this was going to happen. I was just going to go. You know, I had already quit my job. I was leaving. That acting on faith, you don't have the answer. You don't know how any of it's going to work out. It might look terrible, but you're still just moving along. You know, these guys could have said, just like some of their predecessors, well, you know, some of the older generation were in the desert, and they got to the river to go into the promised land, and spies went in there and said, we've seen ourselves as grasshoppers in their sight. Well, they could have remembered that story and come back to Joshua and said, man, they're mighty men of valor in there. You know, Daddy couldn't handle them. What makes you think we're going to handle them? Amen? But they didn't. They went in there and they got it. So let's get back on track here. To walk by faith and not by sight, we rely completely on the Word of God, not what we see, smell, taste, hear, or feel. Remember that? 2 Corinthians 5 verse 7 says, we walk by faith, not by sight. You know, the devil will paint an ugly picture for you. And he's going to show you all the impossibilities. Like a country song I heard one time said, what if everything works out right? You know, you go try something new, you go somewhere different, and somebody says, well, what if this don't work out? What if something happens? What if Christians do this to other Christians? What if this doesn't happen right? What if these guys go broke? What if? Instead of getting in agreement with them and saying, well, let's roll with it. Let's see what happens. It might work out. It could happen. You know, it could work out. We ignore our physical senses unless they are in agreement with what the Bible says. We set our will in deliberate agreement with God's Word. We act like it is so, whether we feel that it is so or not. One of the hardest things for me for a while, was forgiveness, was I knew God forgive me, I just didn't feel like it. So I had a hard time accepting that forgiveness. And I felt like I didn't do something right. And what do I got to do to feel like I've been forgiven? This was a real struggle. This was a battle. What I didn't know at that time, they figured it out, was some people will take the Word of God and twist it to align with their feelings. But what we need to do is go to the Word of God and meditate on it and stay on it until our feelings line up with the Word of God. So I had to just sit there and say, no, I'm forgiven. The Bible says I'm forgiven. Jesus died on the cross. He forgave me of my sins. I had to go over this and over this and over this and over this. And then, finally, that sense of guilt left. And that there was a sense of relief in that forgiveness from the blood of Jesus that settled my heart. See, I wouldn't allow my flesh to have the ascendancy over this. I had to take the Word of God and feed it to my spirit so that my spirit could take over my flesh. Amen? And then I knew that I was forgiven. We'll get into that a little bit more. We'll find out faith comes by hearing and hearing by the Word of God. You know, I had to do that when I got born again. There were some evangelists showed up and they said, you know, I said this prayer, I got born again, I got baptized. And it seems like preachers would show up. And this one preacher showed up and said, you can't be born again. I said, why? He said, God doesn't hear the prayer of sinners. Uh-oh. Well, I didn't know anything. So this is why it's important to pay attention to what you're hearing. I go back, find that in the Bible, Romans chapter 10, verse 9, and go through those verses and say, no, I believe in my heart that God raised Jesus back to life, and I confessed Him to be Lord over my life. I'm born again. I'm saved. I'd go over that and over that and over that and over that again. Everything else is going to be the same way. You're going to get a revelation from something that you feed on, that you study on, that you look at and keep it before your eyes and say it. We discipline our mouths to agree with and confess what the Word says. A Christian cannot confess one thing and believe another. Jesus said in Matthew chapter 12, verse 34, that out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. So we express our faith by our words and deeds. For by your word shall ye be justified, or by your word shall ye be condemned. You've got to know the Word of God is a living seed. And actually, every word out of your mouth is a seed. This is pretty basic stuff. If you take a corn seed and put it in the ground, you're not going to get a grape. It sounds pretty simple. But people speak death over themselves all the time and they expect life. Whatsoever you sow, that's what you shall reap. That's what you're going to get. You're not going to get wheat seeds. You're not going to get a wheat harvest by planting alfalfa. Now, if you want positive crop in your life. You're going to have to speak positive things over your life. These hillbilly sayings that the people run around saying all the time, they got to go. You know, I'm so broke I can't pay attention. That's not doing you any good. I'm sick and tired of being sick and tired. Pretty soon, that's all you're going to be, is sick and tired. It takes the same amount of effort to say what God says about you than it does to say what the devil says about you. And actually, when you're speaking life seeds, your body is going to respond to that. Your body is going to respond just like that plant right there. That thing was withered up, fallen over, count it for dead. But we didn't do that. We spoke to that thing and said it's going to live. And then I stopped looking at it. 2 years later, now it's back to growing good. Speak life. Speak life. But you're going to have to pay attention to what you're hearing, because what you hear is what you're going to say. Look at Mark chapter 11. One of the things people run around saying, it says, I will believe it when I see it. You ain't going to see it. You're going to see it when you believe it. You're going to see it when you believe it. Mark chapter 11, verse 24. Jesus said, therefore I say unto you, what things soever you desire, when you pray, believe that you receive them, and you shall have them. We're accustomed to seeing and then believing, but God's kingdom operates in the reverse. We believe, and then we see. When we pray asking the Heavenly Father for something, we must believe that we receive it, done at that moment. We should tell Him that we receive it and begin thanking Him for it. That is faith. We go forth confessing that we have whatever we requested. We will see it come into being with our physical eyes. God will keep His word. God has prepared a table before us in the presence of our enemies. The Bible tells us that He has freely given us all things with Christ Jesus. Now, it doesn't make sense to keep asking God for something that He's already given you. So how are we going to receive this stuff? How are we going to make it a manifestation in our life? Jesus gave us a real important clue when He got to Lazarus' tomb. He said, I thank you, Father, for hearing me. Jesus thanked His way into a miracle. Thank Him for what He's already given you and watch it manifest. Amen? Thank Him. He's already given it to you. He's freely given it to you. It was the Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom of God. He's given it to you. Thank Him and watch it materialize. Hebrews chapter 11, verse 1 says, Now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. We can see from this scripture that faith is now, not somewhere in the future. I'm waiting to be healed. You're not going to get there. You're healed now. In fact, your healing was paid for before your sins were. That's why it says, by His stripes, we were healed. Already. Yeah, then why do I feel like a run-over dog? Well, because you haven't received it. You know, just as a quarterback throws a pass, there's got to be somebody there to catch that ball. God has dished out His healing. There's got to be somebody there to catch it. So God has poured out His salvation on mankind. The ones that receive it will walk in it. The ones that don't, won't. Yeah. One time a guy got all kind of ugly with me because somebody said something about healing and they said, yeah, it's just a Bible reality. And this guy said, you'll get healing when you get to heaven. I said, no, you won't. You ain't going to be sick when you get to heaven. So, well, why do people die? And I said, because there's a time for people to die. And he said, what? Nonsense. I said, you're wasting your time trying to talk me out. I've seen too many people get miraculously healed by Jesus, by the name of Jesus. There's no sense in even talking to me about it. And he got mad, and I said, look, you don't have to believe it. But you're not going to receive something that you don't believe, so don't worry about it. See? If you don't believe it, you're not going to receive it. How are we going to believe it? The Bible tells us that faith comes by hearing, hearing by the Word of God. You know, somebody had to tell you that Jesus was God's perfect sacrifice and that Jesus got on the cross and died for our sins and that God raised Him back to life and that if you would receive Him to be your Savior and confess Him to be Lord, you'd be saved. Somebody had to tell you that. You didn't come up with that on your own. Somebody had to tell you that. Faith comes by hearing, hearing by the Word of God. So God has given every man the measure of faith. So somewhere along the line, we heard somebody say this, and we had enough faith in us to say, yeah. Yeah, that's what I want. Well, somebody said, you won't have to go to hell if you get born again. That's why I got born again. I didn't want to go to hell. I didn't know anything else, but I did know I didn't want to go to hell. I promise you, I didn't know nothing. And if people would be honest, they would say the same thing too. Now there's some people that grow up in church and they get exposed to a lot of stuff and then they decide that's the way they want to go. But man, I was raised like a coyote pup. I didn't know God from a goat. I didn't know nothing. Nothing. But somebody said, you won't have to go to hell. I knew a little bit about hell. So the Word of God is substance and evidence. You need no other. You've asked, you've received by faith, it is yours now. You see it done through the eye of faith. Remember that you cannot lie when you're saying what God has said. You're building your house on a rock. When you're building on your life on His Word, you're building your life on the rock. You're not lying. You may not have two pennies to rub together, But you can walk around and say, for I know the grace of my Lord Jesus Christ, that though he was rich, yet for my sake he became poor, and I through his poverty have been made rich. You've been made rich. You're not lying. This is where people run into trouble. They don't understand that these natural facts are subject to change by the Word of God. The Word of God is the truth. And the truth always trumps the facts. Always. It may be a scientific fact that you've been stricken with some terrible disease, attacked. But the truth is, by his stripes you were healed, and with a long life will he satisfy you and show you his salvation. That's the truth. This is where we're going to have to get... This is where we crash sometimes. The doctor says... Did you know the doctor is not a fire from the loins up and a fire from the loins down? It doesn't matter what he says. What matters is what God says. He's higher than any authority in this land. What he says is the truth. And here's another thing about God. He holds his word above his own name. He backs his word at the very throne of heaven. Let God be true and every man be a liar. So don't buy into these false reports. You know, we hear these negative reports, and this is kind of a, they're the thing. I've noticed it for a long time. People will get a bad report from the doctor, and it'll shake them up. And it'll say, I better go to church. That's smart. That's a good start. I've seen it a lot of times. They'll get prayed for. Somebody will lay hands on them or pray for them remotely or whatever. And then they'll go back to the doctor and get a good report. And they'll say, well, no, it's just a bad mistake. They just missed it or whatever. No. No. God did something in their life. But this is the very next thing that happens. They'll say, no, it was just a misreading on the report or whatever. No, go on their merry little way, and then they're toast. I've literally seen people get up off the bed where the doctor said they were going to die right there. They literally get up, walk out of the hospital, and instead of going to church and start getting fed the Word of God, they go on about their merry way, and then they get dusted. I've seen that a lot of times. Jesus ran into 10 lepers one time, and they come up there and they wanted healed, and Jesus healed all 10 of them. One of them came back and praised him, and he got made whole. You know, leprosy, you lose fingers and body parts, you lose stuff. All of them got healed. That means the leprosy went away. But when the one came back and praised God, the effects of the leprosy went away. That means he got his fingers back. Amen. Receive your healing, but then praise God for it. Watch him do some more. You know, the Bible talks about 100-fold 60-fold, 30-fold return on his word. On his word. Sometimes in the word of faith circles, that scripture gets twisted around on your money. But it's on the word. It's the word of God. He gets this 100-fold, 60-fold, 30-fold return on his word. You know, healing is part of his word. Sometimes people get discouraged when they get a little healing, but they're not all the way there, and they give up. So don't give up. You got a 30-fold return. Thank him for the 30-fold that you got, and praise him for some more. Amen? Keep going. You got some, that means you can get some more. Keep going. Pretty soon, you'll get your 100-fold return. You'll be completely healed. Don't give up. Sometimes they get frustrated and say, well, why didn't I just get it all at once? Where are you spiritually? Are you able to receive that? You know, Kenneth Hagin, they call him the father of the faith movement, but you know, he spent a lot of time preaching the word of faith. You know, his wife sat there in the front row. So you know that she heard the word of faith a lot. Well, he was at a meeting one time and found out she needed to have surgery, so he come flying home, and he got up there, and he was going to pray the word of faith over her, and she was going to get up off her bed of affliction, and God said, stop that. He said, what do you mean? She's not ready for that. See, you got to locate people. You got to locate yourself. Remember, God found Adam in the garden. He said, Adam, where are you at, boy? As if God didn't know where Adam was. What was he doing? He was locating Adam. He was helping Adam locate himself. See, you have to locate yourself spiritually. Sometimes people just cannot receive a full-blown thing all at once. Sometimes they got to receive it a little bit at a time. You know, God, he meets us where we're at. You know, the Holy Communion, we can take that every day. We can receive a little bit of healing in our body every day and keep getting better and keep getting better and keep getting better. Or you can receive it all at once. Where are you at? People shouldn't be frustrated if they don't receive a full-blown miracle like some people do. Well, if you receive a little bit, that's okay. You got something. Yeah. I mean, the lines of communication are there. So you can receive some more.